Blog Talk Radio.
Rockers in Recovery Media is dedicated to carrying the message of addiction recovery through music, news, events, and festivals taking place within and not limited to the clean and sober community.
Hey, good morning, John Hollis with Waking Up Blessed. I want to thank everybody for tuning in this morning and being a part of the show. If you're just tuning in for the first time, this is a show that we start our day with, and it's personal stories of experience, strength, and hope, and I get to one day at a time start my day out, waking up blessed, and today is no exception. By the grace of God, I was, woke up this morning and was able to do the things necessary to plug in for the day, for my recovery, and most importantly, to be able to share our experience, strength, and hope with our friend Sherry, who's going to be on with us in a minute. And I also want to thank Sober Map App for being a part of Rockers in Recovery and sponsoring the show this morning. You can check them out by going to SoberMap.com. Also, I want to thank everybody for all of the love they've shown to the Rockers in Recovery newsletter that just went out. If you want to sign up for that, you can go to Rockers in Recovery on Facebook, at Rockers in Recovery on Facebook, and click on the sign-up button. You can find Rockers in Recovery at rockersinrecovery.com, on Blog Talk Radio, and if you just throw it into the search engine, we come up everywhere. So please, check us out, be a part of the solution, and that's what we try to do today. And with that being said, I want to welcome Sherry to the show. Sherry, welcome to Waking Up Blessed.
Good morning, John. Thanks so much for having me. Just being here this morning is Waking Up Blessed.
Absolutely. So, Sherry, tell us who you are and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So, first and foremost, I am the mother of two daughters who are in college. I'm the daughter of my parents, obviously. I have two younger brothers. I'm from New York originally, but I've been here in Broward County for about 50 years. And I've been a lawyer and a Florida Supreme Court certified mediator. I'm actually currently running for circuit court judge.
Oh, wow. Okay. And what is she, so that way, people can find you, for that aspect of it. Where can they find you?
Sure. Our website is SherryAfrickOlipsonForJudge.com, but we're also on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And we're posting all kinds of information, not just about me, but also about what judges do and about the judicial races and the role that judges actually play in people's lives, because a lot of people, forget about our third branch of government, but the truth is that it's judges that actually are the last sort of barrier protecting people's constitutional rights. So the president or the legislature may make rules and laws, but if there's a constitutional issue about those, the judges are the ones who decide if they're fair or not.
That being said, a circuit court judge is a huge thing, but the most important thing that I want to talk about right now is, what does Waking Up Blessed mean to you? I mean, what does that really mean?
Sure. Well, I feel blessed to wake up every morning just physically, because obviously we know that there are people who don't. But, John, I really think of this less in the literal sense and more in the figurative sense, rather than physically waking up. I think of it in terms of almost a spiritual or an awareness awakening, and I think that we have those throughout our lives, and every time we have a waking up, we're just so blessed and so fortunate to do that, because so many people go through lives struggling, particularly with substance challenges or mental health challenges or other challenges, emotional challenges, and don't really have the opportunity to wake up to those. So I really feel blessed every time I do, and a lot of my life has been dedicated to studying substance abuse and mental health issues. I think I had mentioned to you before I went back for my master's degree in that, partially because I've had so many friends and family members challenged with those illnesses, but also obviously in preparation for running for judge, because it's such a part of our criminal justice system today. It's just a part of our lives.
Mm. You're absolutely right, and the fabric of all of that, and it's affecting so many people. If you look at the overall number nationwide, we're in to almost a couple of hundred families that are notified every day that they have a loved one that just died from the opioid crisis and heroin and fentanyl crisis across the United States. So when you start to factor in that, when you get to the part of going to those last resorts, and, you know, listen, I'm a product of being saved. And when I say that, I was rescued several different times by the Broward County Sheriff's Department. And I call it a rescue because I would have probably died if they hadn't intervened. So that being said,
and
we're
lucky here in Broward because they really do a good job. You know, there are folks in Broward who are really trained to understand that substance abuse is a disease. You know, there are a lot of law enforcement departments around this country that don't really understand that. And I feel like that's part of, you know, that's one of the things that God has asked me to do is to help raise awareness on that, raise awareness about the science. You know, the science of addiction, the science of mental health challenges has not reached the places it needs to reach in this world. And I think that that's one level of awareness. But we're so blessed here, you know, to have people who are beginning to really understand that because, you know, I've been through this with friends and family members. And, wow, I mean, there is no disease that's more challenging. You know, we know how to fix a broken bone. We know how to, you know, treat cancer. I mean, we know how to treat diabetes. But when it comes to addiction, it's just so hard. It's just what a struggle.
You know, part of the stigma, and there's a huge stigma, you know, issue with this. You know, most people, the average person out there believes that addiction is just a control problem. If you just didn't do it or you just didn't start it, you know, you wouldn't have these issues, so you brought them on yourself. What is your thought process behind that?
Well, you know, we've been, the culture has been that. It's been seen as a weakness. But, you know, like I said, fortunately, the science is beginning to catch up, and hopefully people will begin to understand that this is, you know, it's an illness, you know, and this is something that we need to really spread the word and help raise awareness within our own community, but also within the outside community, because, you know, there are some differences of opinion within the recovery community itself, and we tend to be really hard on ourselves as well. And, you know, we need to forgive. I mean, one of the things I often tell friends and close family members, people who come to me with substance challenges, is forgiveness is a big part of this. I mean, to break the cycle of use and abuse and guilt and continuing use, and, you know, we need to treat ourselves the way we would advise a friend to treat themselves. We need to treat ourselves with kindness and accept the fact that this is an illness that we simply need to overcome. But it's challenging. I do believe that the science, you know, I remember being a kid and sitting in biology class and that mannequin at the front of the room with that showed all the organs, and it was cut off at the neck. And I remember even in high school sitting there thinking, where the hell's the brain? You know, the brain is an organ, too. Why isn't the brain there? And it really is the last frontier, you know, and that's obviously what's driving so many of these challenges. But, you know, we've only reached the tip of the iceberg. So, you know, it's really, I think that there's a tremendous responsibility on folks like yourself who have really overcome this challenge to help get the word out, too, and you're doing a wonderful job. But, you know, there's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of work. There's so many people out there struggling. And you're right. You know, the culture just doesn't get it. Just doesn't get it.
I think it's important to state at this point that, you know, the population, when you look at the population of people that are incarcerated today, out of the 20,000 cases you've done in your career, that's a lot of cases.
Yeah.
Would you say that what is the average person that's incarcerated only because of drugs or alcohol or substance use?
Yeah, that's a great question, because the statistic is about 80% of the people incarcerated in our county today have some kind of either substance or other mental health challenge. And we know that that's, you know, so inextricably intertwined, because, you know, people don't want to start drinking. We drink because we're self-medicated, or, you know, we use drugs to help. Everyone's got some kind of demons. And most of those people, most of the people in that situation are not getting the help they need. Fortunately, in Broward, we do have a mental health court. We do have a drug court. There is an effort to help fix that. Obviously, resources is a huge part of the problem. But, you know, these are things that we simply, they're challenges. The world is not perfect, but we can always work to make it better. And I do think that bringing some of the science into the courthouse is going to make a tremendous difference. And that's really what I'm working for. I really feel that, you know, that's why, that's my mission. That's why I've been led to this place that I'm in right now. And I really think that mental health challenges, you know, even the Florida Bar is starting to look at, there was a mental health task force set up about a year ago and is starting to look at educating lawyers in general because there has been so much substance abuse among the legal profession. So, you know, this is an illness that affects everyone, and I do think we're headed in the right direction, but there's a lot of work to do. And look, John, no one wants to end up in a courtroom. No one wants to end up there.
Absolutely not.
It's up to the court system, I think, to help people once you do end up in that situation. Locking people up indefinitely is not going to answer the problem. We need to figure out a way, you know, once people do cross those thresholds and a substance problem becomes a criminal problem, you know, we need to figure out a way to make sure everyone gets the help they need.
That being said, I think it's important to note also that this is a twofold thing. You know, you got the addiction end of it, but the mental health end of it. There's so many people today. We have veterans that are coming back with PTSD. We have, you know, people out in the streets that have been, had trauma from young childhood. You know, there's such a large argument on that too. You know, well, you know, oh, I guess, you know, you lost your, you know, wheels off your wagon when you were a kid. You know, get over it. But you know something, when you're raped and beaten as a kid, you know, repeatedly, or you've had any other type of trauma watching your parents beat each other day after day after day, you know, these are things that you're going to carry for the rest of your life. And if you don't deal with them, they become trauma things. I know I went through them.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So, and, you know, there are some folks who, you know, maybe it wasn't that obvious. Maybe the trauma, you know, children, we can say things to children, but we have no idea how they're interpreting them. So, you know, there are a lot of folks out there who didn't have a major trauma that they can put a finger on, but, you know, but they're still dealing with some kind of challenge. There are a lot of folks who, you know, it's genetic. A lot of folks are born with depression or anxiety or obsessive compulsive disorder. And, you know, substances become a way to deal with that just doesn't, it's just not it's not a healthy way, obviously, to deal with that. So there's so many different stories. Everyone has a story. You know, one thing I found that has been wonderful, and this all goes to sort of brain health, is to really learn to listen and ask questions and be humble, because I found that when you do, everyone's got a story, and our stories are not that different. You know, we're all in this together. We just need to figure out a way to help each other.
I'm really glad that you said that, because it is about all of us coming together. And, you know, you said something at the beginning of the show. I have seen the stigma not only in the, you know, everyday community, but also the recovery community, where, you know, if somebody, you know, doesn't, you know, get it right away, or they're on medications, or they're having other issues, we tend to blame the person.
Yeah.
Instead of looking at the fact that they have other issues.
Yeah. Yeah, we really do. And, you know, even you had mentioned that, you know, trauma, PTSD. I mean, even I was recently endorsed by the Fraternal Order of Police, and even our law enforcement, our first responders, our firefighters have tremendous challenges dealing with PTSD that lead to substance challenges. And a lot of people in the general population aren't aware of it, but that's a serious problem amongst firefighters, amongst police. I mean, anyone who's in a position like that. So when we say that this disease affects everyone, we really mean it. I mean, this is not, you know, there are some diseases that affect certain populations more, but substance challenges it's across the board.
You know, it's an amazing thing when you start to look at the fact that you went back and to school and educated yourself, even after all of the education you have in law. You took the opportunity to go back and start working on a master's degree in mental health. and addiction. And that being said, you couple that with the fact that you have 30 years of counseling clients and, you do mitigation, and you are doing that for the court system. When you take all of those things together, you get to wrap them together and have somebody that really has a powerful message and can bring that message into the courthouse and be able to make some changes. And that's why I really think that what you're doing is amazing, and I'm really glad to have you a part of the recovery community and support, you know what I mean, and supporting people and knowing
that.
Where they're at.
I appreciate
and,
that. And I do think mediation is, you know, a really important thing, because I think mediators, in a way, you know, judges assign us their cases that are especially tough, and we meet with the parties, and we try to help the parties resolve them so they can take the resolution back to the judge and we can clear up, the challenges on the courthouse. So in that regard, I've almost been in the role of judge for many, many, many years. But the thing is that mediation is very much like therapy. So we have a lot more leeway than the judges have, you know, to help the parties sort of see different options and help the parties reach an agreement. Because, you know, and this, I think, also has some overlap with addiction, because it doesn't feel good to be disagreeing. It doesn't feel good to be in a dispute, you know. And I think a lot of what we need to ask ourselves on a daily basis is that sort of gut check. We need to question and see, how are we living our lives in a way that's not consistent with our values, you know. I mean, when we're doing that, you know, we're going to look for other ways to try to bridge that gap, because it just doesn't feel good, you know. We need to question those sort of automatic negative thoughts that we have that aren't really based in reality, that are based in, like you said, trauma or the way we're raised or, you know, experiences that we had, and they're just not real. We're being too hard on ourselves. So I think, you know, there's a lot of overlap between mediation and therapy.
You know, one of the reasons that I formally, you know, want to endorse you for the job is, you know, I had the opportunity of meeting a friend of, a mutual friend of ours, John Giordano, and John Giordano had introduced me to Randy Gold many years ago, and Randy's an amazing person. She really, really gets, you know, the whole aspect of mental health and recovery, and one of the things that happened, so my listeners understand, was Randy had called me and said, hey, listen, you got to meet Sherry and talk with Sherry. And I spent a lot of time talking with Sherry, and I felt very, very comfortable enough to reach out to a large portion of my network of people that I go to and ask them their opinions. And across the board, everybody said the same thing, you know, that she's, you know, amazing and she's going to do some great stuff. So that being said, one of the things that really impressed me was that people can talk all they want. See, but the rubber hits the road when you help others. And, you know, Randy had, you know, had her issues, and she had, I'll let her tell her story, but she had had some issues. And, you know, at the end of her drinking, there was a lot of chaos and insanity. And 6 months into her recovery, Sherry gave her an opportunity. See, that's what this is all about, in my opinion. If you see somebody that's really doing what they need to do, you give them a hand up. You don't step on their neck and hold them to the person that they were when they were using. And with that, I'm going to bring on Randy. Randy, welcome to the show. Thank you for being with us. And, you know, thank you for introducing me to Sherry, because, you know, lovely lady, and I'm really, really excited about the changes that are going to happen, I believe. So
well,
that being said, welcome to the show.
Good morning to both of you, and thank you again for having me back on. And it was a pleasure to introduce you to Sherry. Sherry will be a change maker and a difference maker in our community. And, you know, I am waking up blessed again today, you know, sober and almost 8 years in. Yes, I am listening to Sherry, and you're right. You know, 6 months in to my recovery, and you know, I had already, by the age of 42 years old, I had been in and out of the court system, and it wasn't pretty for me, unfortunately. I mean, I had been arrested 3 times in 3 years, in the last 3 years of my active addiction. And, you know, it was a public story because I was a public figure, you know, in the media doing what I was doing. I'm not saying that for anything other than to say everybody's bottom is going to be different. You know, mine had to be public humiliation. But the first time I got out, I didn't work a program, and I got arrested for, you know, public intoxication. Then the second time it was a news story. Then the third time it was a news story. And I basically checked into treatment, crawling into my hands and knees, because I just couldn't get it. I couldn't understand what was wrong with me, why I couldn't put down the drink or the drug. And, you know, Shari had known me through a friend throughout the years, and I know it was painful for her to watch me go through this, you know, being, you know, some of us are functioning, you know, we can function at our jobs, but then, you know, in our personal life is where that trauma, that unhealed trauma, John, that we talk about is not dealt with. So it kept surfacing, and when it surfaced or it was triggered, I just went to, you know, drinking or drugging. And so anyway, when I finally did get it, you know, and checked in to Hanley and crawled into my hands and knees and, you know, wrote myself that letter that I keep with me, "Dear Randy, you know, trust me, you will lose everything, alcohol." That was the first step, and then working a 12-step program and understanding that my career was not going to be the most important thing, but my recovery was going to be. And then 6 months into working a solid program, only worrying about my recovery, my sponsor said, you know, you can sort of, you know, delve into or try to get yourself involved and use your portable skills, you know, the way that you know how, because you do have that, Randy, you know, in PR and media and things like that. And I reached out to Shari, a friend of mine, and she said to me, listen, I'm working on this nonpartisan think tank. It's the housing crisis. I'm working with the Urban League, and, you know, I want to help people during this crisis. And if you are willing to participate in this nonpartisan think tank, I think you will shine. You'll get your self-esteem back. And you'll be doing something to help others, Randy, which is what we do in recovery, right? Part of sharing our experience, strength, and hope, and helping others, and helping another recovering addict or alcoholic, that's part of our deal. Well, she knew this, and she had faith in me. And, you know, listen, she didn't know if I was going to go back out again or something was going to trigger me, but she understood that, hey, this is a disease. She's done the necessary footwork to try to get some help, get into therapy, heal that trauma, which, you know, was a work in progress. And then I participated with her in this. And let me tell you something. To have somebody like Shari Afric Olufsen believe in you, you know, with her credentials and her credibility on the line, to say, listen, I see what you did. I believe in you. Do the next right thing, and you'll feel like you did something wonderful. And boy, oh boy, did we do something wonderful with the Urban League. And then Shari, of course, went on to write books like The Foreclosure Nation and help people that didn't have money, you know, during the foreclosure crisis, and 101 Ways How to Stay Out of Court. I mean, she's brilliant. But the fact is this. There's people like Shari out there, hopefully, that understand that what we have is not something we choose, okay? This dis-ease in our body, and I call it a dis-ease. It's something we are trying to fill with something until we can heal. And I still thank God to this day for Shari and her belief in me. And, of course, you know, she'll always say to me, hey, you know, did you hit a meeting? You know, what's your program looking like? And I'm almost 8 years into it, but she cares. So, you know, my hope is that as she goes into this next stage, you know, in her, you know, career, that she is able to bridge the gap between substance abuse, mental health, and the judicial system. And yes, there's a lot of steps, like she said, there's a lot of things in place already. But when people get into the courtroom, and, you know, they're still struggling, I guess my hope is just that they'll have Shari as, you know, as a judge. And, of course, you know, she has to follow the Constitution and the law, and she will. But people will understand that this is, you know, something that we probably need to heal, that throwing us back into the court system, back into the jails, rather, is probably not what we need to do. Of course, there's a time and a place to do that if somebody is a repeat offender, but there's going to be people like me that just need to be shown the way, and then an opportunity for someone like Shari to believe in me. So, you know, I am waking up blessed today with both of you and able to share that story with you.
Great stuff.
Randy, thank you. That's I don't even know what to say. That's just super, super, super kind words. I mean, you know, John, I have to tell you, I don't know if there's any research on this. I doubt it. But, you know, in my experience, and I'm going to speak to Randy specifically, I mean, this is such an incredibly talented person with so much to offer the world. And in my experience, so many people that I have worked with who have gone through challenges with addiction and come out on the other side, same thing. I mean, just I don't know if there's an overlap between people who are likely to become addicted. Maybe they're more sensitive or smarter, and this world isn't I don't know. But I have found so many people, once they overcome an addiction challenge, go on to do amazing things because, I don't want to say that people with addictions are smarter than the general population, but or more sensitive or more creative, but I just see it often. I wonder where that, you've got geniuses throughout history. And I have to say, Randy, I would put in that category with her capabilities, and it was just such a pleasure. She made so many, the Carnegie Group think tank worked in housing, we worked in pay equality, we worked in healthcare, we worked in civil rights, and she helped so many people through that. It was just unbelievable. And I want to thank you, John, for the introductions that you have made into the community, because I really do believe that a judge needs to step off the bench and out of the courtroom and into the community and learn more about what is landing people in their courtrooms. And for me, even though I've been in Broward for 50 years, learning more about the history and the people involved in the recovery community here and the resources and the lack of resources has been unbelievable. I've been able to actually visit many of the detox centers and the recovery centers and meet with people, who are in all the pieces of this puzzle that really I think is just the most valuable background that someone who winds up on the bench, which is hopefully where I'll wind up, could ever have. I mean, I don't understand how someone can sit on the bench and fairly and impartially and in a positive way adjudicate cases that are involving addiction when they don't know what's going on in the community. So I really appreciate those introductions.
Listen, that's what we do. It's about being able to educate everybody. Something you have a piece that you can bring to them that you're going to be able to educate them a little bit more than they might be educated with. And the same thing with it's all about us joining together. There's so much stuff out there now where you get, well, this camp doesn't like that camp. And this, it's insane, man. This is about all of us coming together and helping our community as a whole, not just, fragments of that. You know what I mean? If you're going to say you're a mental health coalition, then be a coalition. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're
yeah.
going to say, there's a lot of problems out there that all need to be repaired. And it's not going to happen on one radio show, that's for sure. but the end result is, and it was talked about with Randy, listen, intervention, education. When you look at Randy's story and you look at the opportunity that you gave her and that the court systems gave her and then you gave her, it was two forms of intervention. See, the courts intervened. She got clean. She had 6 months sober. You intervened on her behalf to be able to help her get to the next level in her life so that way she could show her talents. And here's the thing that, and just to answer what I believe, listen, I was actively using since I was 11 years old is when I took my first drinking drug. I went from 11 to 40, then took a little break for about 7 years and went back out for two more. It almost killed me. But I will tell you this, two things. A, that I lost just enough brain cells to understand that there was an issue. And the second thing was that the same motivation that I went after my drinking and drugging for years, if I take that same energy and stamina and turn it into something positive, that's how we get to excel and really blow up in what we do in a good way.
Yeah, yeah. No,
so
absolutely.
That being said, I want you to give everybody your information and, just let them know where they can find you and find your information online at the website. And, again, if you guys are out there and you're listening to the show, please share this with other people. But most importantly, if you are able to vote, maybe some of us will get our rights back someday, but if you are able to vote, please go out there and cast a vote for Sherry.
Thank you so much, John. Thank you. So we're at SherryAfricOlafsonForJudge.com, and we're also on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And like I said before, there's also a lot of good information that we're posting. We started an initiative called #WhyYourJudgeMatters, really just to talk about some of the issues we're talking about here today, the impact that judges can have, you know, to help or hinder folks from recovering from addiction or other mental health challenges, you know, the interaction with the criminal justice system, and also just some information about what judges do and the different kinds of judges and why they're nonpartisan. We're not allowed to talk about whether we're Democrat or Republican because it's so important that we be impartial. So I think there's, you know, some good information out there for people to, you know, who are interested in learning more about the system, too.
I want to thank Randy for being on the show, too. Randy, thanks for being on and, you know, sharing your experience, strength, and hope.
Absolutely. And I just want to say one last thing, you know, for anyone out there that's listening, you know, when you lose your self-esteem like we do during our active addiction, just start showing up for people. Volunteer. Wherever it is, you show up, people start believing in you, and your actions will be, you know, apology is the best apology is change behavior. So, you know, just show up, volunteer, make coffee, you know, go volunteer for someone like in a campaign or something, but do it because you will gain self-esteem back, your worth in the world, and hopefully you'll meet someone like Sherry. So,
And anyone who wants to volunteer, we welcome you. We're, you know, particularly people from the recovery community, there's only 3 weeks left until election day, but we welcome you with open arms. And those connections, Randy, are so important. Just from a mental health standpoint, you know, those connections are so important.
Yep.
Amazing stuff. You know, at the end of the show, I'm going to be playing a song every day that we do Waking Up Blessed. I always end up with some song of choice, and that's fitting. And today I'm going to be playing a song that, you know, I was sitting in a hotel room back in 2006, I was totally, or 2000, actually 2004, I was totally out of my mind. And I pulled up this song, and it's called River of Tears by Eric Clapton. And one of the things that this song music does for me is it brings up those emotions. And as I was listening to this song, I said, oh my God, this is me. This was in 2004, and I said, God, this is me. Please help me. And all I can tell you is this, is that he's never forsaken me, and most importantly, one day at a time, for, you know, his grace and mercy and his love, he did. You know, I get to sit here waking up blessed today with Sherry. I get to wake up blessed with Randy and everybody that's listening. Most importantly, if you're out there today and you need help, you know, it's an easy thing to lift your hand up, say, I need help. And, you know, you can do that in so many ways. There's information right where you're listening. Choose on that. There's all types of people out there that can help. So, please, I want to thank everybody again for tuning in. And you guys rock. Randy and Sherry rock.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John. Thank you. Thank you.
Take care. Right. Have a blessed day.
All right, guys, I want to thank everybody for tuning in again, and most importantly, make sure that we get to wake up blessed one day at a time. You can check us out Monday through Friday. Our stories, starting our day with personal stories of experience, strength, and hope. And River of Tears is, you know, at the end of my addiction, it was, like I said, off the chain. And many people along the way have helped me to bring me to where I'm at today. And it was the merciful, in my opinion, it was a merciful God that did it, that got me to that point when I reached out for help and all of the people started to come into my life that would, to, you know, render that aid. So, with that, River of Tears.
will carry me away. I will hide my face. And about half a mile to the downtown bar. And I ran from in disgrace. Lord, how long have I got to keep on running? 7 hours, 7 days, or 7 years.
Rockers in Recovery Radio is based on opinion only and is not meant to treat or diagnose any health or mental health issue of any kind. If you feel you need help for any health-related issues, please contact a physician or mental health professional. The opinions expressed by our guests are not necessarily those of Rockers in Recovery.